But it's a wonderful part of the book of Philippians, isn't it? The first part of chapter 2. Speaking about imitating Christ's humility, about not grumbling, because we're all can be grumblers at times, you know, the weather's terrible and whatever else is going on. We can all be grumblers, can't we? And it's about, you know, shining like stars. That's what we're called to do, shine like stars. And so Betsy got some absolute gold in that passage last week. You just think, wow, this is wonderful stuff. You know, this is what Christ is like, and therefore this is what I should be like, and these are what my attitudes should be. And perhaps in comparison, we might think that tonight's passage is a little thinner in terms of content. Because we might wonder a wee bit, why is there this personal stuff in the midst of this letter? There's been this really rich teaching that Paul has been going through, and he's been speaking about, you know, your attitudes and, you know, what you should be like and not grumbling and shining like stars, all this brilliant stuff. And then suddenly he's got this stuff about Timothy and Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus, what kind of name is that? Epaphroditus? You know, can they not have short names in the Bible sometimes? But what I want you to see here is that Paul has been speaking, hasn't he, about Christian character. That's what he's been speaking about. And he's basically been saying, if you're a Christian, this is the kind of character that you should have. You ought to be someone who's humble. You ought to be someone who's not just self-interested. You shouldn't be a person who is all about selfish ambition or vain conceit. You ought to be a person, as a Christian, that's humble, looking out for others' interests, not just your own. A character which is Christ-like in attitude and in mindset. God is looking for a people who don't argue, who don't grumble, but who are salt and light in this needy world. And at the end of this chapter 2, we have these two men, Timothy and Epaphroditus, who model Christian life and character. And that's why they're here. This isn't just a personal, you know, part that Paul is putting in here. He's showing, you know, just what I've spoken about in terms of what your attitude should be like. Well, look at these two men. It's basically a, you know, Anna asked me to bring these wellies with me tonight. Wellies and trainers. And I'd left one of them in the car and brought in only one wellie. I had to go back out and get the other one. But Lynn wants them, I think. And Lynn wants them for the ladies' prayer meeting on Tuesday. And sometimes we have these visual examples, don't we, that we like to use. We often do that with the children, just like I had the brown sugar that was meant to be Sam this morning. And that's basically what Paul is doing. He's saying, you know, this is what, you know, your attitude should be like. And here's two examples for you. I'm giving you these two men, Timothy and Epaphroditus, who show what Christian character should be like. So let's look at these two men this evening, okay? Firstly, there is Timothy. Timothy, a constant companion to Paul, as we know, a younger man that Paul tries to encourage in the faith. We see that in Paul's pastoral letters, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy. A man with a weak stomach. Remember, he's told by Paul, you know, have a little wine. That is good for your stomach. He's a constant companion to Paul. And in many ways, he's like a son to Paul. Now, when you read this passage this evening, it's really important to realize that there was no text messaging. That there was no WhatsApp. There was no FaceTime. You know, amazing to think that Lynn and Jean can just FaceTime Ruth all the way in Australia. No problem whatsoever. There was no telephone. There's no email. No Royal Mail. None of these things existed at that time. And so when a message needed to be delivered during those times, everything's hand-delivered. And so it takes time. And what you find in this passage is that Paul is hoping to send Timothy, this man Timothy, to the Philippians so that he will find out how they are and then come back to Paul to let him know. Okay, now that's going to take quite some time, isn't it? Okay, Remember, we don't quite know where Paul is at this point, which prison he's in, but you're guessing that's a few days' travel at least. He's going to have to stay for a wee while just to see how they are. He's going to have to make his way all the way back. So nothing is quick. This is not FaceTime. This is not instant messaging. This is taking, you know, probably weeks. But Timothy's not going yet. Did you notice that? Paul still needs him at this point. He still needs him to help him and to watch over him. But what's lovely in this passage, I hope you noticed it, is Paul's genuine affection for Timothy. Did you notice that? He says about Timothy, there is no one like him. He says about Timothy, he will show genuine concern for the Philippians. Timothy is clearly someone who will look out for the interests of others, not only his own interests. And so Timothy receives this glowing commendation from Paul that he is genuine and sincere in all he does, that he's not a fake. He's not a fake. This is a reference that Paul has basically given the Philippians about Timothy. And actually, something that is genuine is something that is lacking in society, isn't it? Really. And you see this particularly in social media. Now, I'm not particularly having a go at social media, okay? Because, you know, we can sometimes come together and it's about, you know, oh, things were so much better in the old days. They're just different from the old days. That's the reality. Social media has its usefulness. But what also does it encourage? It encourages fake news, doesn't it? It encourages things that are not genuine. And I'm not just talking about news stories, I'm talking about people's lives. There are many stories of people putting up stories about how amazing their life is on social media, whilst the reality is very, very different. It's a huge problem, isn't it? Certain people putting on and they're always looking glamorous. And everyone thinks, oh, I've got to look like that, I've got to be like that. There's a famous YouTuber in, I think it was Hong Kong, could be China, and they put up all these videos about how perfect their life was and what their life was all about. And then this was in the BBC News, actually. And it was actually found, it was a girl, she was in her early 20s, she has lots of followers on YouTube, but she got into trouble with her landlady in Hong Kong because her flat was such a state. And so she put, so this girl who, you know, had put, you know, she was a lifestyle guru, that's what she was known as, you know, perfect life, this is how to live your life, and, you know, all glamorous. And then you saw these photos of a disgusting flat, stuff all over the place, grime, dirt. The reality didn't match up with what she was trying to portray. And even in the church, we must not be seduced by things which are not genuine. I'm sure we've all been to churches where the welcome isn't really warm. They go through the motions, but it's not genuine. They're not really that interested. I'm sure we might have been to churches where there's lights and there's smoke machines, but there's no genuine love. And even in the church, sadly, it can be about appearance and not about being genuinely Christ-like. It can be about the outward appearance rather than about the inward state of our hearts. Even in the church, sometimes we do things for show and it's not real. But Timothy is. Timothy is the real deal. That's what I want you to notice tonight. He is the real deal. He is genuine. He is loving. He is compassionate. He is everything you would want him to be. And Paul hopes to send him to the Philippians soon. Now, if you were receiving this letter, if you were in Philippi at that time, would that not thrill your heart that Paul's going to send this man who's so genuine and so amazing and, you know, there's nothing fake about him. He doesn't look out for himself. He cares about their welfare. Is that not wonderful? I want him to come. That'd be brilliant. Paul hopes to send Timothy to the Philippians soon. Indeed, he hopes to go himself soon if possible, once he's released from prison. So that's Timothy. What a glowing reference Paul gives to Timothy. A genuine man in every way, not looking out for his own interests, looking out for the interests of others. Genuine. But one person Paul is sending back to the Philippians is Epaphroditus. It seems that Epaphroditus is part of the Philippian church. Indeed, he's the one who's brought aid to Paul from the Philippians. Okay, he's the one who's brought the gifts. We see that in chapter 4. You know, Paul has needed aid, he's in prison, and Epaphroditus is the one who has brought that aid through to Paul. And again, Paul speaks so highly of Epaphroditus, doesn't he? He's Paul's brother, first of all. He's also his co-worker. He's his fellow soldier. He's a believer. That's what Paul means by brother, along with Paul. A worker in the same cause, the cause of the gospel, and indeed a fellow soldier. Now, why a fellow soldier? What's that about? Well, it seems that in coming to look after Paul's needs, that Epaphroditus became ill. That's what we learn. Seriously ill. In fact, so ill, Epaphroditus almost died. But God had mercy. God had mercy. Epaphroditus didn't die. And because of this, and because the Philippians are worried about Epaphroditus, for somehow they've got to hear Epaphroditus has not been well. He's been seriously unwell. Now for us, you know, it's really worrying when we know someone is in hospital and they're going through a really difficult time and, you know, we might phone a relative or whatever else just to find out how they're doing. How bad must it be for, you know, a society when there was no text messaging, no telephone, to find out, you know, we've heard something, we know they're not well, have they died, have they not died, what's going on here? They're worried. Philippians are worried about Epaphroditus. And because they're so worried, Paul wants to send Epaphroditus back to them and say, look, there he is, your brother. He's back with you. He's okay. He's recovered. And when he comes back, Paul says that they are to welcome Epaphroditus in the Lord with great joy and to honour people like him because he almost died for the work of Christ. And what we need to notice is that Epaphroditus is clearly one of those people who really cares more about the gospel, more about Jesus, than he does about his own safety and his own well-being. Again, he is someone of genuine Christian character, genuine, reliable, Christ-like. And I simply want to ask ourselves tonight, are we like this? Are we like this? Because we might not be on social media, we might not be on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook or Snapchat or whatever other social media there is out there. We might not be putting some kind of public persona on. But are we a person who is genuine? Genuine about our faith? The same on Sunday night as we are on Monday morning? Is that true? You see, we have been shown what we should be like. But are we? Are we keen to work on our character? So that's the first thing. This real question about what we look like on the inside. Am I truly genuine about my faith? Am I always the same? Or am I a person who's a backstabber, really? You know, am I a person who's got character traits I like just to keep hidden away? And then they suddenly come out now and then. Or am I a person who's genuine, Christ-like, always looking out for others rather than just self-interest? And secondly, is this something that we encourage in the church? Is it true that we encourage people in the church who are not out for themselves? That we encourage people in the church who not only display their gifts, but who are genuine, who are selfless, who want to show the fruit of the Spirit as well as the gifts of the Spirit. Because sometimes that gets lost, doesn't it? As we look back over our Christian life, it's good for us to have people around us like Timothy and Epaphroditus. People who are solid, people who are trustworthy. You know exactly where their heart lies. And it's great, isn't it, when you have those kind of people. And they might be very different from you, but you know you're going in the same direction. We don't know if Epaphroditus was similar to Paul or he wasn't. But we know he calls him his brother, fellow believer, co-worker, fellow soldier. Why does he call them those things? Because they're going in the same direction, the same goal, to share the good news of the gospel. I was speaking to someone the other day and they came out with a phrase that I've not heard for ages. They said that someone they knew was a real brick. Do you know that phrase? That's an old phrase, okay? It simply means that they're always there, reliable. You know, they're a brick, they're solid. They can't be moved. Maybe not be the flashiest person around, but they're reliable, they are genuine. And what I want to say to you tonight is we need a church full of Timothys and Epaphrodituses who go the extra mile, who don't think of themselves, but are so focused upon the Lord and upon others. You see, when Christians are like that, what a witness to a world which is all about self-interest, which is all about pride, which is all about conceit, really. Jesus came into the world. And as we saw this morning, he is powerful. He is powerful. He heals people. He performs miracles. He calms the storm. He casts out demons. But he's also the one who made himself nothing, who takes the very nature of a servant, and who humbles himself. And we are called, aren't we, to follow in Jesus' footsteps. If Jesus is Jesus, and he does all that Jesus does, and he is the fullness of God itself, then we too, and if Jesus is a servant, he acts as a servant. If you think about the most astonishing things in the Gospels happen, when Jesus, for example, wraps a towel around him, takes off his outer garment, and washes his disciples' feet. The God who had been there from eternity, and what's he doing? He's washing the disciples' feet. That is an astonishing thing. Now, some of the disciples understand that. They recognize, you know, Jesus, you shouldn't be doing that for me. You shouldn't be doing that. But that's the kind of God that we have. That's who Jesus is, who took the very nature of a servant. Sometimes we think too highly of ourselves, don't we? Think too highly of our gifts. Think too highly of what we've achieved in our life. But we're called to forget all that. And we're called to follow in Jesus' footsteps, whatever that might cost. Paul knew that, didn't he? He knew the cost. That's why he's writing from prison. Epaphroditus. He also knows the cost, doesn't he? He's gone to deliver his gift. He's become seriously ill. But he wanted to do it for Christ. And I simply ask for us tonight, is that us? Do we really want to live for Christ? Are we humble before Almighty God, recognizing we are but the dust? That is all that we are. Our life is but a breath. Sometimes people speak, don't they, about their legacy. They speak about, you know, I want to be remembered. Very few people are remembered, really, for generation and generation. Memories fade, don't they? But Jesus doesn't fade. Eternity is forever and ever. And so we need to build a legacy up there with him. We need to build up our treasure in heaven. That's what Jesus talks about. And we need to start that now. Are we a people who are humble? And do we encourage that in the church family? Are we bricks? That's what I want to ask you tonight. Are we bricks? Because we have Jesus who's a foundation stone. And we need to be bricks, don't we? We need to be solid, reliable, and living out our lives for Jesus. For his glory, for his honour, for his praise. Shall we just pray together? Let's pray. Loving Lord God, we thank you for the example of these two men, Timothy and Epaphroditus. And in many ways we might just think that this is an incidental passage, but we see how the character of these two men is exactly what Paul has just been speaking about, because it's Christ-like character. These two men do not think about themselves, they think about others. They want to honour you, Lord God. They want to live for you, and they're genuine about their faith. And Lord God, if we are honest, sometimes we recognize that we are not genuine about our faith. We put on a front, we put on a mask. In some ways we want people to think better of us than we truly are. And we ask, Lord God, for your forgiveness. We pray, Lord God, as your people and as a church, that we might be genuine with one another, that we might be real with one another. And Lord God, that we would be people of humility, people who want to honour you, people who put you first in absolutely everything. And Lord God, we recognise that that is the hard path, that is the rough road, that is the narrow gate, and yet this is what you call us to do. Lord God, we want to be God-honouring people. And within the church, we want to encourage Christian character. We want to encourage the fruit of the Spirit. We want to encourage genuine warmth, one with another, genuine love, looking out for one another, true relationship with one another. Because we recognize, Lord God, that authentic relationship is what the church is all about. Heavenly Father, we do ask for forgiveness as a church when we've tried to put on a front, tried to portray things in a better light than they are, perhaps. Lord God, we recognize it's all about you, and we want to honor you and glorify your name. So, loving Lord God, we ask you would speak to us through your words tonight, we pray. For we pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.